This is gotcha journalism, but you know what? They're not going to gotcha me.
The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Erin, is your oldest old enough for trick-or-treating?
Oh, yeah, she is. Yeah. Four and a half.
Oh, four and a half? Really?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Wow. Okay. What did you see this year?
Well, she's a sick princess this year. She's not doing very well right now. But she's okay. She's on the mend. She was very sick on Friday, and she's doing better now. But we're probably just going to stay in and hand out candy.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll send some over to her.
Yeah. Thanks.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I'm Buzz Lightyear, if you were wondering.
Oh, you're not an adult who dresses up, are you?
Yeah, man. My neighborhood, if I don't dress up as an adult, I will be the outsider.
Welcome to my world. Welcome to my life.
I feel the pressure. I live on a street called Jones Circle, so I always say I have to keep up with the Joneses. Everybody there goes all out. A lot of pressure.
I'm not big on adults dressing up.
All right.
No, you know what? It's none of my business, and I couldn't care less of adults dressing up.
Yeah, you're no fun, Tori.
Yeah. He's a dad that's participating with his kids. Hey, leave him alone.
I came around to the correct view in 10 seconds time. Don't yell at me. I came around.
Right.
I corrected myself.
I'm all for people having fun.
Yeah, me too. That's what I meant. Yes.
A few people even dressed up at work today.
A couple, not many. This is probably the least we've ever had in the office dressed up.
Okay, I'll tell you something about that. Okay. Because over the many, many years of me being in a workplace, the worst is on Halloween because they will come, and the people you don't even know that well, you'll be sitting at your desk and they'll just walk up and stand there. And then you look at them and so, do you need me to record some? No, they just want to get a reaction. And so I look at them and I go, it's Ariel, Little Mermaid. That's good. Okay. It's so awkward.
It's the effort. People like to put some effort. It's an attention.
It's awkward. We had some people a few years ago who went all out, too.
Marin's listening.
Oh, no, it's fine. It's fine. I don't care. Just please don't stand next to me and ask me to phony up a reaction to your costume. That's all I'm asking.
All they want is nice work.
When's the last time you did dress up for Halloween?
12.
Come on.
I'm serious.
Yogi Bear.
Yeah, that was a disaster. it's probably been about 49 years, Aaron.
Okay, all right. I mean, I dressed up quite a bit in college. that was a good time.
Oh, man. All right, I hope your daughter feels fine.
Thank you.
I hope you have a wonderful evening.
Yeah.
All right. This is... Nicole, is it wrong for me to say that this soundbite I'm about to share with our audience...
Yes, probably.
Could be...
Oh, no.
One of my favorites of the year so far?
No, I kind of agree at the ridiculousness of it, but I'm sure we've had more funny cuts. But
I don't know.
The ridiculousness of it's another reason I'm scared for this generation of kids that they're mean, they don't care about pumpkins, and they're whiners about work.
Right. And in this case, I agree with you that this is not just symptomatic of this one person, but there are a lot of people these days who have this attitude. Okay, so this person is a biological woman. This biological woman, she has a beard and a mustache. This biological woman is a barista at Starbucks. And this biological, I have to keep saying that because otherwise I'm misgendering if I use some pronoun. And this biological woman, during a quick break at Starbucks, went into the bathroom, locked the door, and decided to record this biological woman for a TikTok video. So here, and I know a lot of people this age who are hardworking and just will outwork anybody. And then you have a lot of people who are like this.
People wonder why we need a union at Starbucks. And I am literally about to quit. Like, I don't know if I'm going to do it, but, like, I really want to. I almost walked out today, and I'm crying in the back room right now, and I almost cried on the floor. It's just... I'm a full-time student. I get scheduled for 25 hours a week, and then on weekends, they schedule me the entire day, open to close.
Okay. Are you hearing this? This person's getting scheduled for 25 hours a week while going to school. And... for 8.5 hours on Saturdays and Sundays. Those slave drivers!
It's just... I'm a full-time student. I get scheduled for 25 hours a week. And then on weekends, they schedule me the entire day, open to close. I'm on the schedule for 8.5 hours, both Saturday and Sunday.
Okay, time out. 8.5 hours. Isn't Starbucks... this person said, open to close 8.5 hours. Isn't Starbucks open for more than 8.5 hours on Saturdays and Sundays?
Well, it depends. Some of them close pretty early, but I'm not sure. I would think Saturdays for sure they are, but I don't know.
Okay, so it's possible that is the entire Starbucks day, 8.5 hours. Oh, my gosh, working an 8-hour day. Ah!
I'm like 3.5 hours into my shift. There's so many customers, and we have 4 people on the floor all day. Only 5 people were put on the schedule, and somebody had to call out. And there are 4 people running the whole store, and there's so many customers, and there's buzz, and they scheduled 5 people. We only have 13 people employed at this store, and there's so many customers. And they are good. We don't have fair scheduling. Managers don't care about us. Our manager was supposed to come in this weekend, and he took himself off the schedule so he wouldn't be able to be held accountable for calling out. He just literally tore down the schedule that he was scheduled on and put up a new schedule where he wasn't on the schedule. Also, he couldn't have even seen that he was scheduled in the first place because he didn't want to be...
He literally put that on the schedule.
...held accountable for not wanting to come in. They don't want to help us. We need a union because this can't happen. This can't happen. We need fair scheduling. We need managers to hold themselves accountable for helping their workers. They refuse to turn mobile orders off. We need the liberty to be able to do that because there's so many mobile orders, and I need to get through all of them. And then people are yelling at me because I don't have their orders ready, and they don't know what to do. And a customer was misgendering me tonight, like, really badly. I didn't have their order ready. And so they were just, like, talking to each other. And they're like, she's clearly incompetent. I have a full mustache and beard. What the I don't get accommodations for being neurodivergent. I don't... like, I can't... Like, people get mad at me for using my sick time. I don't even know what to do anymore. I'm, like, at my wit's end with this job. I really am.
I think he's going to make somebody a fine husband someday. But just the idea that you're so upset and then you record it and then you post it on the internet for all to see, it is a level of narcissism that almost ensures that you're going to be crippled by your narcissism for your entire life. That's no way to live your life. You don't like your job? Go find a better job. You're working too many hours? Find a way to cut your hours and still pay your bills. If you can. If you can't, suck it up. Oh, we had so many customers. Good. The customers are why you have a job. If nobody's buying your coffee, you're not working. Anyway, just... delightful example of the job marketplace these days. I'll save this one for tomorrow. I got lots of our stuff that I got to get to, but we still got some election news coming in here. Let's get to the big lead.
The big lead, top story.
I've covered an awful lot of election nights here on Cairo News Radio, and the most dramatic, and it lasted for, well, there were a couple of most dramatics. In 2000, where that went all the way to the Supreme Court between Gore and what George Bush. I couldn't think of his name. And that went on for weeks and weeks and weeks. And then in 2004, in an election that my coverage of it and everything that I uncovered for weeks after election night, I have zero doubt that that was a stolen election. I have zero doubt that King County produced enough votes finally on the third recount after Dino Rossi wins election night. Dino Rossi wins the first recount. Dino Rossi wins the second recount. And then the third recount, King County elections, found enough votes for Chris Gregoire. And it started Washington down a disastrous road of big government and overtaxation and all of the things that ail us as a state now. But there is no doubt in my mind that that was a stolen election. And, you know, so I guess that makes me an election denier. I got the receipts to back that one up. If anybody wants to challenge me on 2004 being a stolen election. So with that experience, I am a little jaded because I have been through that. And what we've seen on past election nights in more recent times is we get the count from everywhere in the state. And then King County comes in a week or 2 weeks later. And this is absolutely unacceptable. And what they say is, well, if somebody puts their ballot in the mail at 11:59 on election day, we might not get it for 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, the way mail's moving these days. And then we have to certify and then blah, 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 blah. But it is a gigantic problem that King County always comes in well after the rest of the state, and that in those initial counts, it looks like elections are going a certain way, and then King County always seems to be putting it over the top for the Democrats or for the liberal causes. And because King County was directly involved in a stolen election, albeit it was 18 years ago, but I'm just telling you, I know that it can happen. I have seen it firsthand. And so I think that, man, King County elections has to figure out a way, and it shouldn't be that hard in this day and age, but they should figure out a way to have all the votes counted and certified within about 3 days of election day, four, whatever the last tricklers come in the mail. But this wait on King County and see if a massive change flips a race or flips an issue, that has to stop in Washington because there are a growing number of people elsewhere in the state, in the other 38 counties in the state, who feel disenfranchised. And the reason I'm talking about this right now is because if you have ever felt like your vote doesn't matter because it'll always get swamped by the Seattle and King County machine, this is the year more than ever that you step out and get yours in and produce numbers that will give you a voice and give you power. And with you and all your neighbors and your friends, make sure they do as well. But don't feel like this is inevitable because it's happened before and it's going to happen again. If you feel that way, you can either be a helpless victim of it, or you can respond in such tremendous numbers that maybe the people and causes that you like, that you support, will have just too big a margin for even King County to overcome. Jay Inslee is in an absolute all-out panic right now on Friday afternoon in one of the more I've heard a lot of despicable things from Jay Inslee. But this is real near the top because when Paul Pelosi was attacked at their San Francisco mansion on Thursday night, or really Friday morning, about 2:30 a.m., when Jay Inslee jumped in front of a microphone on Friday, he had no idea. And there were all kinds of rumors floating around. One is that it was just a random crazy guy whose mind was just gone, and he really wanted to find Nancy Pelosi. And he had zip ties with him, apparently. in The Hammer. Stop the hammering! By the way, this is a horrible joke, but I did have somebody tell me over the weekend, you realize the last two times Paul Pelosi has been in the news now, both times he's been hammered? Anyway, so we didn't know if it was just a crazy guy who was, you know, just off his meds and out of his mind. We didn't know if it was a guy that Paul Pelosi brought into the house. Because the early reports were that there was a third man there, and that Pelosi and the attacker were both in their underwear, and the 911 call, the police are saying that Pelosi said he was a friend and knew his name was David, which is all very fishy. All of this is just horribly fishy. But anyway, and here's the 911 dispatch audio about that. It's a friend, and Pelosi knew his name was David.
Northern 4 car, Pay Priority 910, 2640 Broadway, cross of Scott and Normandy. Favorite 14 hour copy. RP stated that there's a male in the home and that he's going to wait for his wife. RP stated that he doesn't know who the male is, but he advised that his name is David and that he is a friend. RP sounded somewhat confused. Is a friend? RP sounded somewhat confused. 12 hour back and copy.
And to grow.
Oh, so the guy, because of election deniers, this guy decided to go take a hammer to Paul Pelosi. I mean, seriously, it's one of the stupidest theories I've ever heard in my life. But that was the marching order. That was Joe Biden. Same day, Friday. They had all gotten the same message of what you're supposed to say.
The talk has to stop. That's the problem. That's the problem. You can't just say, I feel badly about the violence. We condemn it. Condemn what produces the violence. And this talk produces the violence.
We can't talk. Of course, there is a little thing called the First Amendment, but we can't talk. Remember all the things that were getting people deplatformed in 2020, 2021? That COVID came from a lab in the Wuhan province, that the vaccine wasn't nearly as effective as advertised, that there might be bad side effects. That all those things got you deplatformed. All those things turned out to be true. So this, you know, let's stop talking. Let's not even allow talk. It's so fundamentally un-American. I talked to Joe Kent a couple hours ago. I asked him if he wanted to respond to Jay Inslee, and he did. Let me take a quick time out. We will check the news. We'll have the latest on that from Joe Kent's perspective, and we have lots more to cover. It's a very busy afternoon as the Dory Monson Show rolls on. A former Green Party nudist whose life has been filled with psychotic, drug-fueled episodes attacked Paul Pelosi in his mansion at 2:30 Sunday morning. And Jay Inslee, 12 hours later, says that it's because Tiffany Smiley and Joe Kent would not say who won the 2020 election. It's so stupid. That's what Biden's party came up with when they sent the memo out to everybody. Biden said that. Inslee says that. Oh, man. And here's what's interesting. So, again, if you're just joining us, first of all, where the heck have you been? But this is who Jay Inslee blamed in the hours after this attack.
Tiffany Smiley, Matt Larkin, Joe Kent, they're enabling this election denial, which foments this violence. When these candidates are asked point...
They fomented this violence. Oh, this is a well-constructed argument, Jay. Do they teach you these arguments at Willamette Law?
This violence. When these candidates are asked point blank, was Joe Biden fairly elected? They refused to answer. And yet, they go around allowing and enabling these doubts about the fairness of our election to spring and to grow.
They literally put the hammer in the hands of the psychotic Green Party nudist. But they won't answer that question directly. Okay, let's go to the town hall here, where Tiffany Smiley last night, she battled
Patty Murphy.
Okay, let's go to the tape.
This comes from Y Browning, who asks, who won the 2020 presidential elections? Just a first and last name, please. Senator
Well, they ought to give the middle name, too. Richard Milhouse Nixon. Okay, just a first and last name. Patty Murphy and Tiffany Smiley.
All right. Joe Biden. Thank you. Mrs. Smiley.
Joe Biden.
Whoa, wait! Wait a second. Jay Inslee says that you don't say that. Jay Inslee says that you are fomenting hate by refusing to say that Joe Biden won. Oh, my goodness. And now what, Jay? Crying out loud.
A first and last name, please. Senator Murray.
Joe Biden.
Thank you. Mrs. Smiley.
Joe Biden.
Undisputed. A follow-up, though, if I may, because that was a thoughtful question from Y. Browning.
It was? Did I miss the question? Is that? Did you? When you cut up this audio, Nicole, did you mm-hmm. include all of
all
Y.
Of the
Browning's
question? Yep, starts with Y. Browning's name.
Okay, because it was such a thoughtful question, a follow-up. Let me hear the question again here.
This comes from Y. Browning, who asks, who won the 2020 presidential elections? Just a first and last name, please. Senator Murray.
Thoughtful.
That might be the most thoughtful question I've ever heard in mm-hmm. my entire life.
Good. A follow-up, though, if I may, because that was a thoughtful question from Y. Browning.
I'm sorry. These next 7 days are going to be insane, man. Oh, my goodness. Okay, since Jay Inslee apparently lied about Tiffany Smiley, who doesn't deny 2020 winner, Joe Kent is another person that Inslee accused. So, being the hard shoe-leather journalist that I am, with Joe Kent on a couple of hours ago. Man, it gets nasty when you get closer to Election Day and you're ahead, it seems.
It sure does, yeah. I mean, these attacks from, I think, Jay Inslee just really show how desperate the Democrats are. And so they're grasping at everything, and they don't really care what the consequences are. I mean, they're accusing us of very serious and horrible things, like encouraging political violence, which all of us on the Republican side, and I think every single good, decent American, Republicans and Democrats, you know, completely reject any kind of political violence. And everybody, you know, we all said a prayer for Paul Pelosi's speedy recovery, and, you know, we hope he's doing well and they have a secure situation. So it really, Jay Inslee going right to politics when someone has been brutally attacked and trying to blame his political opposition, it's just repulsive.
It is repulsive. And my other point was Jay Inslee, he couldn't care less if a crazy psychotic person on the streets of Everett or downtown Seattle or Tacoma or Olympia, if they brutally attack somebody, if they grab a piece of rebar and murder somebody on Capitol Hill, Jay Inslee doesn't care. He has nothing to say about all these attacks and murders in his state. But if a politician gets attacked, or a politician's spouse gets attacked in California, and he thinks he can make it a political issue, then he's got lots to say. He either has zero self-awareness or he's really gone over to a dark side and trying to inspire or stoke more violence.
Yeah, I mean, really, you're right. I mean, it's completely ridiculous considering what's happened in recent times. We've had a lot of political violence. I mean, Steve Scalise almost died. He was shot and almost killed. Thank God he pulled through. But, I mean, this does happen. And so just to be very reckless with his speech, it also just shows the hypocrisy of the media. You know, I hate the whole, like, if the shoe were on the other foot. But we're all very cautious to say, hey, we want to work through the political process. And we're very diligent because we know the media is going to scrutinize every single word that we use. Even when you say something like, we're going to fight policy X, Y, or Z, we get taken completely out of context. But yet, there's Jay Inslee. I mean, Joe Biden does this. This has basically become the Democrat doctrine. I mean, Joe Biden frequently, the only time he can string a sentence together, it seems to be when he can call the entire or half the country, you know, extremists.
Yeah, Inslee didn't say anything when a would-be assassin went to Supreme Court Justice Kavanaugh's house. He didn't say a word when Steve Scalise was shot practicing for the congressional softball game, almost died on that field. He didn't say anything when New York gubernatorial candidate Lee Zeldin was stabbed at a campaign event. And he doesn't say anything when Washington State citizens get attacked here. You never hear Inslee denounce craziness in his own state.
No, none whatsoever. And the Democrats in Olympia, led by Jay Inslee, they've basically tied our police's hands behind their back. They've made possession of hard narcotics legal. They're starting to let violent criminals out of prison because they're getting rid of three strikes. You're out here in our district. They're getting ready to let Roy Russell, who brutally raped and murdered a 14-year-old girl, this guy might get out of prison because of the policies of Jay Inslee. And this is actually what the Democrats are doing. This is their real assault on law and order, open borders, open prisons across the border. But then, I mean, all they're going to do is say that we're extremists because of some vague reference to January 6th, while they're actually encouraging real political violence. And they're bringing real violence onto our streets because they refuse to enforce any kind of law and order.
That's such a great point. Jay Inslee signed the bill that gives Roy Russell, a two-time three-strikes-you're-out loser, a child murderer, and it's giving him a chance to get out of prison, along with hundreds of others, or over 100 other three-strikes-you're-out convicts. Jay Inslee wants to give those people a shot at freedom. So it certainly isn't about making society safe. What's your response to Jay Inslee in his immediate knee-jerk political call-out, and specifically of you?
Well, he should be ashamed of himself, and this just shows how desperate he is. I mean, he shouldn't be so flippant with just throwing out accusations of violence like this. Like, I reject violence. I fought for this country for over 20 years to make sure that we didn't experience violence here in this country. And so I think it's incredibly insulting that Jay Inslee thinks that the people of Washington State are dumb enough to believe this nonsense. And so I think he should be ashamed of himself. I think he should apologize to myself, to Tiffany Smiley, and to Matt Larkin.
Yeah, don't expect that. Don't hold your breath on that one from Jay Inslee. Quick time out, and then we'll count down our favorite sound bites of the day. Awesome audio is coming up next here on the Dory Monson Show. Love hearing the Pierce County Sheriff's Department advertising openings on the big show. We got good people listening. We got good people down there in Pierce County. They need some more cops there. We all need more cops throughout the state. All right, down the stretch we come. What a day, what a show, what a show, what a day. Let's get to our favorite sound bites of the day.
This is Dory Monson's awesome audio clips of the day.
Joe Biden, kids, here's a little history for you.
And by the way, if they do, that means, not a joke, everybody, that's why we were defeated in 2018 when they tried to do it. We went to 54 states.
Wow. He went to all 54, including Transfabulosa? Let's see here. I just played this top of the hour, but I love it so much. The transgender barista at Starbucks who works too many hours.
I'm literally about to quit. Like, I don't know if I'm going to do it, but, like, I really want to. I almost walked out today, and I'm crying in the back room right now, and I almost cried on the floor. It's just, I'm like a full-time student. I get scheduled for 25 hours a week. And then on weekends, they schedule me the entire day, open to close. I'm on the schedule for 8.5 hours, both Saturday and Sunday. I'm like 3.5 hours into my shift. There's so many customers, and we have 4 people on the floor all day. Only 5 people were put on the schedule, and somebody had to call out. They don't want to help us. We need a union because this can't happen. And then people are yelling at me because I don't have their orders ready. And they don't know what to do. And a customer was misgendering me tonight, like, really badly. I didn't have their order ready. And so they were just, like, talking to each other. And they're like, she's clearly incompetent. I have a full mustache and beard. What the f-? I don't get accommodations for being neurodivergent. I don't even know what to do anymore. I'm, like, at my wit's end with this job. I really am. And I just
want to be able to. Sounds well balanced. At the Seahawks game yesterday, a ref made a tiny mistake.
After the play was over, sideline interference. The coaching staff of the Seattle Mariners was in the restricted area. 15-yard penalty.
They said the coaching staff of the Seattle Mariners. Do you realize that's the most read story in the Seattle Times today? It's not that funny. It's not that interesting. Why would that be the most read story? Does that tell us something about the Seattle Times readers? That of all the things in the world, that's the most read story.
Sick of the rest of the news, right?
Jeez, I guess. It's just not that big a deal. And finally, you rarely see this. Athletes in post-game press conferences, rarely do the sports media go after them, but they don't like Kyrie Irving. He refused to get vaxxed last year, and now they got a bigger beef with him.
Kyrie, while we're on the topic of promotion, why did you decide to promote something that Alex Jones said?
That was a few weeks ago. I do not stand with Alex Jones' position, narrative, court case that he had with Sandy Hook, or any of the kids that felt like they had to relive trauma, or parents that had to relive trauma, or to be dismissive to all the lives that were lost during that tragic event. My post was a post from Alex Jones that he did in the early 90s or late 90s about secret societies in America of occults, and it's true. So I wasn't identifying with anything of being a campaignist for Alex Jones or anything. I was just there to post. And it's funny, and it's actually hilarious, because out of all the things I posted that day, that was the one post that everyone chose to see. It just goes back to the way our world is and works. I'm not here to complain about it. I just exist.
And to follow up on the promotion of the movie and the book.
Can you please stop calling it a promotion? What am I promoting?
Going on and on. Man, they don't usually get grilled like that. I got to get out of here. What a fantastic afternoon. Thank you for all the texts, all the tips, everything that makes us really appreciate and love you. The John Carlin and Sherry Elliker show is coming up next. God bless you in these crazy times. And I will see you back here tomorrow. High noon. What the bleep were you thinking?
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.